From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Audie Cornish.
I'm Melissa Block, and we begin this hour on the subject of Walmart and wages. The world's largest retailer has had longstanding plans to build stores here in Washington, D.C., but those plans are now up in the air. That's after the city council passed a living wage law that would require Walmart to pay $12.50 an hour, significantly more than the city's current minimum wage of $8.25. So Walmart says it will abandon three of the six stores it planned for the district, and it's evaluating whether to forge ahead with the remaining stores already under construction. As NPR's Yuki Noguchi reports, the situation in D.C. shows the difficulties and opportunities that big box stores face entering urban markets.
D.C. Councilman Vincent Orange is not a big box store hater.
I was very instrumental in bringing Home Depot and Costco to town, and back then we had to provide incentives to get entities to come into town.
But Orange, who chairs the Business and Regulatory Affairs Committee, says Walmart can afford to pay employees more. A decade ago, D.C. courted retailers and offered tax incentives. Now the city's population is growing and is well-to-do, and Orange says that gives Washington the upper hand.
Whereas before, back in 2002, 2003, we were begging entities to come to the city. We wanted what they had, and now they want what we have.
Indeed, cities are a key growth area for big retailers. Rob Grossman is a partner in Deloitte's real estate consultancy. He says the exurbs and suburbs are already saturated with big box stores.
The landscape is such that the market is pretty much covered, leaving the urban markets as kind of the last untapped market.
But cities, especially older cities along the East Coast, are challenging for the large-scale retail format. For one thing, it's hard to find enough space for the store, parking, and traffic access. Grossman says sites are typically smaller, which means they require frequent visits from 18-wheelers to restock. But retailers like Walmart have strong business reasons to want to be in D.C., Boston, and New York, where they don't have stores now. Grossman says it enables them to ship online orders more efficiently.
The store, going forward, will not focus just as a place to buy stuff. It will have a couple of different purposes. It will be a place that you can buy stuff. It will be a place like a showroom to look at things. And it might also serve as a mini fulfillment hub.
Walmart spokesman Steve Restivo acknowledges there's money to be made in Washington.
There's a reason why we wanted to open six stores in Washington, D.C.
But he says there are many urban myths, if you will, about Walmart's relationship with cities, including the idea that they have trouble getting in.
Today, Walmart has stores in places like Los Angeles and Chicago and Philadelphia and Baltimore. And
Walmart
Dallas
publishes its wage data online and says its pay is competitive. Restivo says the D.C. Council is acting against consumers' interests.
From day one, we said we thought the legislation was arbitrary, discriminatory, and most of all, discouraged investment in D.C.
He cites Chicago's experience. 7 years ago, the city council there passed a similar bill that was vetoed by the mayor. Stores were eventually built, consumers voted with their wallets, and now Walmart is building more stores there. Lamont Blackstone is an urban developer and retail consultant. He says anti-big box sentiment is usually strong because the incumbent stores fund those campaigns. That was the case in the 1990s when Blackstone fought to bring a Pathmark grocery store to Harlem. The store eventually prevailed.
Practically any observer in the economic development scene would testify to the fact that that Pathmark full-service supermarket that got built up in East Harlem has contributed to the revitalization and the redevelopment of East Harlem, and one might argue Harlem in general.
And Blackstone says D.C. shouldn't kill a possible golden goose. Washington Mayor Vincent Gray must now either approve or veto the living wage bill. A decision is likely by next month. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News, Washington.